Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. The Senate is beginning the new year with a rare New Year's Day session. Unfinished business must be concluded before the new Congress begins Sunday. Senators are to cast procedural votes today and tomorrow, which would clear the way to vote tomorrow on whether to override the president's veto of a major defense bill. The House voted to override it Monday. Senator David Perdue of Georgia has gone into quarantine after close exposure to someone infected with COVID-19. Perdue is engaged in a tough runoff race. The quarantine takes him off the campaign trail just days before the election. From member station WABE, Lily Oppenheimer reports.
The Perdue campaign says the senator and his wife both tested negative for the virus Thursday. Even so, Perdue, his wife, and his campaign team say they'll follow CDC guidelines. The senator, who faces Democratic challenger John Ossoff in Tuesday's election runoff, planned to attend a rally with President Trump this weekend in Georgia. Trump will be there in an effort to boost Republican turnout for what is expected to be a very tight contest. The outcome of two U.S. Senate runoffs in Georgia will determine which party controls the Senate in the next Congress. For NPR News, I'm Lily Oppenheimer in Atlanta.
A study published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says a rapid test to detect the coronavirus gives incorrect results more frequently than people who use it may expect. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Rapid tests called antigen tests can give results in 15 minutes, so they're handy for screening large populations like university campuses, nursing homes, and prisons. Researchers studied two college campuses in Wisconsin to measure the accuracy of one common antigen test. They compared results with a PCR test, which is the gold standard. They found that the antigen test only detected about 40% of the infections in people who had no symptoms at the time. It did better picking up COVID in people with symptoms, correctly identifying infections 80% of the time. The researchers say even people with a negative antigen test result should still take precautions, like wearing masks, because they might, in fact, be infected. Richard Harris, NPR News.
It's a new year and a new start for Europe now that Britain has left the European Union. Rebecca Rossman reports from Calais, a port city in northern France.
I would say there's a lot of sadness and also a little bitterness. French President Emmanuel Macron gave his annual New Year's Eve address yesterday to the French people, and he talked about Brexit in his speech. He said, you know, that the UK will always remain a friend and neighbor to France. But Brexit was the child of a European malaise and lies. So he also made this appeal to French citizens, you know, to really stick with Europe. And the people I've been speaking to here in Calais agree with Macron.
Rebecca Rossman reporting. You're listening to NPR News. India's drug regulator may approve today the emergency use of a coronavirus vaccine developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University. India has reported more than 10 million cases of COVID-19, second in the world after the U.S. After being criticized for delaying the purchase of COVID-19 vaccines, Guatemala's president says he'll ask Congress to let him negotiate directly to buy vaccines from the pharmaceutical company Moderna. Maria Martin reports.
Guatemala's buying vaccines through a program with the World Health Organization by which poorer countries can obtain vaccines. But no date has yet been set for those vaccines to come to Guatemala. Thus, the criticism and even legal actions against the government of President Alejandro Xamatei for the delay. Now Xamatei says he wants Congress to allow him to purchase vaccines directly from the pharmaceutical Moderna. Pundits have pointed out that Moderna's vaccine is the most expensive and have hinted at government corruption. Since Moderna's vaccine requires special freezers, which Guatemala will have to buy, there are questions as to why the president has decided to go this route. For NPR News, I'm Maria Martin in Antigua, Guatemala.
Effective today, Australia has tweaked its national anthem. Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced the change last night. Instead of saying, "For we are young and free," in the second line, it now says, "For we are one and free." Morrison says this reflects the spirit of unity in Australia. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.